Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello. Just before we get on with today's episode, Chris and I want to tell you all about our Patreon page. It won't take long, but we think you're going to want to hear it.
Because you're missing out, quite frankly.
Massively.
All the more risque stuff that we sometimes think, oh, can we get away with that? We put it on our Patreon pages. And there's over 150 episodes for our $10 subscribers.
Absolutely. So for whatever that works out in UK pounds, what's that, about £7.50 a month?
Yeah, for the price of a bag of chips, for a Savoy and chips, you can actually have us in your ears four times extra a month.
That's four episodes minimum that we put out exclusively for Patreons. Plus, there's loads of... We video most of our episodes now, and the videos, you can watch all of the podcasts now over on Patreon as well. We put up loads of other unique content over there,
yeah,
don't
there's,
we?
There's pictures there. It's basically our version of our OnlyFans account, isn't it, basically? So you
exactly.
Get the sort of pictures on there of the behind-the-scenes of Stu tucking into a pot noodle, basically. Sort of stuff that shouldn't be available to the public.
No one needs to see that. But that's all. We just thought we'd give you a quick heads up that if you're enjoying these podcasts, then be aware for like £7.50, you can go and listen to over 150 exclusive episodes. And there's some great ones over there with previous guests as well. Loads of names that you're going to recognise if you've been listening to the weekly podcast we put out.
And yeah, and also, if you are a subscriber, we're more than likely to do one of your top fives if you recommend it, because we prioritise the patrons first, don't we, as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So we try and sort of do as many top fives suggested by you lot as well. So, yeah, head over to Patreon. Where can they find out about it, Chris?
Patreon.com/hardcore listing. Easy peasy. And you can watch an intro video there as well of us in jacuzzis and doing sexy stuff.
With Gal Porter.
With Gal Porter. Not doing sexy stuff with Gal Porter. Can I just clear that up? Gal, I'm not trying to drag your name through the mud.
And Scroobius Pip.
Yeah.
All right. patreon.com/hardcore listing.
Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I am one of your presenters, the slightly better one. I am Stu Whiffin. Hello. Sitting opposite me via means of Zoom is...
The presenter that doesn't lie, Christopher Glasson, the actual the actual good one. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right. I'm all right. It's a lovely sunny day, and I'm sitting in the shed, and I'm not going to lie, it's a bit hot in here.
Where are you recording? In France today, or
is that because I've got a stripy top on?
Possibly.
Okay. Is that racist? I think it might be.
I think so. I don't know. We'll ask our guest in a minute.
Okay. Right. What we should say, if you're a new listener, is Hardcore Listing Podcast is a weekly podcast where we invite guests on. Not all the time. Sometimes it's just Chris and I. And we pick a topic, and then within that topic, we count down a top five within it. That's how it works, right, Chris?
It does. It is indeed. And we should shout out our sponsors very quickly as well. So we've got Charles and Love Beer, love-beer.co.uk. It's been a long-time sponsor of ours. And you can get 15% off at the moment if you type in LBHCLP into the Love Beer website, and you'll get a lovely 15% off all your alcohol goodies. And also, Luke and Bang Boom Creative. And after this, we're going to be going to do a snazzy photo shoot later, I believe, aren't we? We've kindly set up by Luke.
I said to him, you know, do we bring like any outfits and that? He said, we won't need them. He said, but he's going to make us stars.
Really? Okay, yeah, Omnius. Quite
interesting. Yeah, he said, don't bother with clothes and he'll put our name up in lights. So
I trust him. He works with children in need. It can't be too sinister what he's going
to
do.
And big thanks to our producer, 76, for making this sound glorious for your ear holes. Okay, today's guest, Alexis Strum. Hello.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm crying. I think the emotional gravity of being on your podcast has just hit me.
Is it finally
here? Could be the cheap Rimmel eyeliner. I'm not sure. Combination of the two.
I mean, I imagine there would have been lots of watery eyes in the experiences that you're going to talk about today. Before we do ask you what your top five is, Alexis, did you consider any others before you settled on what you did?
I'm actually looking at the list of the other things. So I had top five also-rans from history.
Okay.
Nice. Top five embarrassing moments. Top five people I tried to pull and failed. Top five incredible kids shows, but then I thought that's quite boring, isn't it? Top five doctors in the NHS. Oh, that was like a worthy one, wasn't it?
We don't want worthy.
Going serious.
No. So, well, yeah, this was pretty easy to choose, really, to be fair.
We do flip between serious and the sort of like more whimsical top fives. I think the last one we recorded, was that yesterday? Which was top five glimpses of penis in movie.
With Poppy Hillstead.
We've gone back into more of a, from the serious chats we've had with people about racism recently, now to what we'd say is the more serious ones, which is actually your top five you're gonna bring up now.
Is it serious? I'd say I'm 100% whimsy, but we'll go with serious. It's fine. Good. Yep.
What's your top five, Alexis?
Top five favourite locations I've puked.
So good.
Fucking love this.
My parents will be so proud.
We get so many top five recommendations from our listeners, and they are outstanding, and I'm so surprised no one's come up with that genius one yet. So you've, in the thousands that we've been recommended, that is definitely unique as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel quite proud of myself, actually. Yeah.
So we normally ask guests like what the criteria is for this, you know, if there are any specifics, but I guess it's just where you threw up, right?
It's basically the places I threw up, yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. There's not really any, there's nothing more deep to it than
I'm trying to go highbrow, but it's not going to happen, is it?
Not going to happen today with me, no, I'm sorry. I'll see what I can segue in there, but no.
Okay, number five, let's do it.
So is this, I wasn't sure, is this supposed to be chronological?
Well, no, it can be just as it is, or it can be, this one was quite embarrassing, all the way up to, fuck me, that was ridiculously embarrassing.
Scarred for life, yeah.
Okay.
So however you want to do it.
All right, so I'm going to go with chronologically, because mm-hmm, I'm quite old and I've seen a lot of history. So let's start with
number
one.
You're in good company here.
So what, do I just tell you it? Should I just tell you?
You just let us know what happened.
Okay. So, first one is, I nearly threw up on Jarvis Cocker when I was interviewing him, but I managed to hold it in. But you know when you're doing the boke face and it's kind of like that? Did do that throughout the interview. I was a young student journalist at King's College where I was studying English, back in the days when I don't even think the internet was around. And I got to interview loads of celebs. Well, I was a music editor on the paper. But I got to I got to interview like Huey from the Fun Loving Criminals. Amazing. Incredible.
He's been a guest on here.
Yeah, I thought so. He's awesome. Stereophonics, and then Jarvis Cocker, which was like the absolute ultimate one. And in those days, student press was actually quite important in a rock band's career, because you know you get students on side, that's a big part of your demographic, so they used to send loads and loads of money into these sort of meet and greets. And the one that I went to with Jarvis Cocker, there was like a huge tequila bar all laid on for just student journalists. So when you're 18, 19 and there's free tequila, I think there were some nibbles. No, there weren't nibbles. That's why I threw up. Basically, you partake.
Did anyone ever give you the heads up, like the memo, the tequila talk of like, when tequila seems like a good idea, that's when it's fundamentally the worst fucking idea ever?
No, I'm afraid no one did. And I wish they had, because I don't think I'd really been that drunk before. I know it's quite late, but I lost my virginity really late as well. So like at about 20, that's late, isn't
late
it?
Late bloomer.
From
where we come from, it's late, Lexis, but that probably says more about where we grew up than anything else.
Can I come to you for reassurance, though?
Sure. My life's choices.
Hey, you could. I think it's fine.
Thank you. So, yeah, it was like probably one of the first times I've ever got really drunk. I just remember sitting on the floor of the toilets of this VIP green room, whatever, but going, and I knew I had to go in and interview him, and I was just such a mess. I was so scared and that I was going to mess it up. Threw up, went in, interviewed him. It's probably definitely smelling of sick. Managed to get through the interview, but there were definitely moments where it could have gone in his direction. And when I think of this story, I think of that classic story of Martine McCutcheon on a date with Mick Hucknall when she threw up into his dreadlocks. And everyone said it was like a rumour at the time, but then she came out and said, no, it was true. So, that was the first one.
Well, I mean, for me, I think Jarvis Cocker, I don't think there's been a cooler pop star since Jarvis Cocker. I think he's the creme of awkward pop stars that just own it, that write about the seedy and grotty sides of, you know, working class England. I love it. How was he? Because he always seems quite delightful. And so what year would this have been, mid-90s?
Yeah, it must be. I think so. I must have been at uni in the late 90s, maybe around 95 to 98, I think, possibly. Might even have been before that. And they were at the height of their career. So I think Disco 2000 was out around that time.
Oh, the absolute peak of their career then.
Yeah, they were huge. I found him quite aloof and intimidating, but I think it's shyness. A lot of the times when I've met the famouses, it's shyness on their part, and also like a pressure, and they've got other things going on. I think that's one of the massive mistakes that people make as fans, is that you always think it's all about you, and it largely isn't. It's just that they've got, you know, who knows what was going on within the band and all that kind of stuff at the time. But it was like the halcyon days of student journalism. I don't even know if that sort of thing exists anymore, but it was amazing.
It must just be blogs and stuff now, I imagine. Student press was like, if you worked for a student mag, that was amazing. Like, you know, you're talking to someone that grew up watching Press Gang, which was the greatest TV show ever.
Dexter.
Yes.
Yes.
Julia Swala.
Legend. Yeah. I love that whole dynamic. It was great.
My girlfriend just graduated from King's College.
Oh, no way.
She just did her English Lit.
That's exactly what I did.
As a mature student, by the way, because I'm quite old, so I don't want everyone thinking, you're dating an 18-year-old. I'm not. But she loved it there. But, it has changed that dynamic somewhat. They still treat quite a lot of that stuff seriously, but her background's music PR before she moved in there. And she was desperate to do that for them. And they're like, nah, we don't really see the point. So it has changed a little bit since.
Well, that was what got me really heavily into bands and being in bands and stuff myself, you know, just being able to meet all those people. And actually, I remember I interviewed Kelly from Stereophonics, and I left my book of poems, like really embarrassing poems. I'd left it in the interview, and then he found me after the gig, and he went, oh, by the way, you left this. And I was just like, oh, you didn't read it, did you? And he went, yeah I did. read it all. It was very embarrassing, and I was secretly thinking, is it going to turn one of my terrible poems into the next Stereophonics song? But it didn't happen for me.
So did you?
That's kind of cute, though, for a star rock star to come up to you and say, hey,
they were, you know, there were this little band from Wales. Yeah. No one really knew much about them. And in fact, I think the student contingency, the student journal contingency, really did a lot for their career. I mean, I made the story.
You made them.
They had a really weird marketing strategy. So they were one of the first bands to be signed to V2, which was Branson's offshoot of Virgin. And I'm sure if there's some real aficionados out there, write in and tell me that I'm wrong. I won't listen. But yeah, they...
Write in as just to say,
we're talking old school.
It's Blue Peter. It's Blue Peter, isn't it?
But they done a thing where the label would pay venues to put on the Stereophonics rather than you pay to put on the Stereophonics. The label's like, here's £100, put this band on. And we supported them in Southend on these early tours. And I just remember, like, they played something like 300 and however many gigs in the first year, just hammering it and hammering it. I mean, everything else aside, that first album warranted the hype, you know.
It's really good.
When you got Local Boy in a Photograph and things
amazing.
Like that, you know, these are incredible records. But yeah, it was quite unique. You know, I think they were one of the first bands to sign to V2, and that was their kind of way of getting them out there. It obviously worked.
I mean, that happens all the time, though. When I was an almost pop star back in the day, they used to buy records into the charts. I'm pretty sure that still still happens. You'd have sit-down conversations about how much they were willing to pay to buy into the charts. I mean,
so tell us about this. I'm interested. So you was almost a pop star, or was you a pop star? What happened?
Well, I say almost a pop star because I'm really like self-deprecating, don't know what the word is, down on myself. But actually, I did do quite well. I had a lot of record deals and I had a lot of chances, but it just never kind of worked out for me. But I certainly gave it a good innings. And then every time I didn't make it as a pop star, my songs were good. So I just passed them on to other like secondhand, you know, tracks onto other artists and like gave one to Kylie, one to Rachel Stevens, some X Factor like tracks. I gave away and stuff and dance records. So it kind of, although it didn't work out, I saw a lot of the business. I learned so much about the music industry. And yeah, it's one of those weird things. Like that's why I run a night about it. That's my whole interest. And probably why I picked Five Also Rans would have been my other option is I'm fascinated by what happens when you slip through the net in life in general. And I very much did. I slipped through the net. I could have been a huge star. Mm. I'm not sure that would have made me happier, though.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So it's good. I've seen both sides. My Poundland life now is quite in contrast, but I'm very happy. So, yeah, I don't know where I would be now. I do think about that sometimes, like, where would I be if my records had actually taken off? I was signed to Universal and Warners and stuff.
As Alexis Strum,
yeah, you can actually Google me and it's like all my old pop videos and stuff. And,
amazing.
Yeah, and when I used to temp, when I didn't quite make it as a pop star, I called myself Alex Strum because I was so embarrassed by it all. And then, like, eventually, obviously, wherever you temp, people kind of Google you or they find out. But, yeah, for a long time, I was really ashamed of that whole pop past. Because it didn't work out and I felt, I'm such a failure. But actually, yeah, looking back on it now, I'm like, I had a brilliant time. They gave me hundreds of thousands of pounds to go and make records out in America and sit on my ass. Literally. Also, we're not going to put it out. Brilliant. I don't have to tour. I don't have to do anything. So it worked out. Yeah.
That's cool. And some of your songs ended up finding their way into the hands of like Kylie and Rachel Stevens. And,
yeah.
And I mean, they're two people whose records were absolute pop perfection, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have so much respect for the artistry of songwriting. I really do. Pop music is incredibly hard to write well. And yeah, there's like the whole songwriting and the craft of it. I was really into that lifestyle. I found it fascinating. It got me to travel the world. You get put on songwriting dates by your publisher and they match you up with people. It's fascinating how it's all done. And just the chemistry of what happens when two people get in a room and write songs. And I wrote with Billy Steinberg, who wrote True Colours and Like a Virgin and
wow,
like some of the biggest hits of the 80s. And just to walk into a room with him, I mean, as a fan, it was amazing. The fact I got to write with him was incredible. But like literally, I was just like, oh my God, this man is a genius.
That's incredible.
He has a whole stack of fully written song lyrics. It's kind of like the Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
Yeah.
Kind of thing where he just writes lyrics and they're all, every single one of them is an incredible hit song. It's just phenomenal.
Wow. If you wrote True Colours, you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah. We didn't write a follow-up, True Colours 2. True Colours The Return.
Two Colours.
Two Colours. Yeah. But it was lots of fun nonetheless, yeah.
We've seen that. I mean, Shu's even longer time promoter than myself, and we've seen so many incredible bands that didn't quite, that had it all. And, you know, just because of circumstances, so many different factors that are, even if you work really hard and you do it all right, it doesn't quite put you in that, into that slipstream, that trajectory that makes you, you know, become super well known. And it's tough, really, because you sit there thinking, oh, they did it. They did it all right. You know, they sounded incredible. But also, it's nice to sometimes go back and listen to those gems and thinking, yeah.
You still did it. I still did it.
Yeah, totally. I think how you wrote that and how you look back on your history is so important because, it helps. And to be grateful and to see all the good, amazing things that you experienced is other people can get jaded by the music industry. You've seen that a lot, Stu, as well, can't you? Where,
completely, yeah.
You know, they didn't quite get what they wanted out of it. Mm. And it's like, most of us don't, so.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you're right.
It's getting quite highbrow. I'm getting a bit concerned. Maybe we should wind it back down to throwing up on your shoes.
Just on that, while you guys were talking, I kind of figured out why Jarvis was aloof. And you're right, sometimes it's just nerves and, you know, they're just human beings. From doing all our club nights, we've met plenty of people, and it's easy to mistake it as that, but like you say, it's shyness. But I'm pretty certain he could just smell the sick on your breath.
I'd say that's likely, yeah. And also, I was like some sort of 19-year-old idiot student journalist. I would hate me, you know. I reckon I had a wanky outfit on. I probably had some tie-dye. He was just like, oh, seriously, have I got to talk to her? Who knows? Maybe he fancied me, and that was the aloofness. That's another option.
Lean towards that. Tell yourself that.
Yeah, exactly.
Always.
Apparently, Jarvis loves a bit of Leveller's Chic tie-dye.
Yeah, he does.
What's your number four?
Do you want me to move on to
that? Go for it. Let's do it.
Yes, do it.
So this time, this is a really good one, because I got gastroenteritis on the way back.
Yay!
Should be laughing at that.
First and only time I've had it, it was very exciting. I had a pot noodle, and I got it from a pot noodle, which controversial because I still eat pot noodles and I love them, and I love super noodles as well.
Yeah, you're in good company.
Good. I mean, there's a lot of effort goes into making them, obviously.
Yeah. On toast is the best way.
Yeah, I haven't tried that. So I had this pot noodle, and I was with this, my boyfriend at the time, and it's quite new into the relationship when you don't really want to even like fart or go to the toilet or even acknowledge that happens. So he was driving me back from his house to mine, and on the way in the car I could feel the stirrings, and I thought, oh my God, just pull over. So he pulled over, and in the beginning it was just vomit, so that was okay because I couldn't have done the other option in the street. Then he drove along a little bit more, and I was like, oh my God, it's going to come out of both ends. I'm so glad I'm sharing this with you. It's really embarrassing to kind of hide my face. So I happened to see a church over just the other side
of
the road.
So stay classy.
Ran into the church, and I destroyed that poor church toilet. And I was in there for so long, I got locked in. And my boyfriend was frantically trying to find out where I'd gone because he hadn't seen where I'd run into. I literally was, you know, like when you really need, it's going to come out. So I literally ran into the church. So he had to track me down and then like managed to find, he found the church. It was like, oh, maybe she's gone in there, but all the lights were off. So So we went and found the warden, and he said, "Oh, I think my girlfriend's gone into your church." She's like, "No, no, it's closed now." And thankfully, she had the presence of mind to go and check. And I was in the toilet. I wouldn't let anyone come in. I kept apologising to this poor woman, and then, because it was destroyed. And then a week later, I was like a total mensch, and I went back there with a bottle of champagne and gave it to her. Oh. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Don't come in.
I told you that.
You can't see me like this.
But yeah, it was pretty awful. And then I ended up on a drip. I ended up on a drip as well, because I'd thrown up and the other ended so much that, yeah.
Dehydration.
Yeah, from the gastro. So, that was classic. Word.
What pot noodle? What flavour?
It was the curry one.
Okay,
Don't let that put you off the curry pot noodle, though, because that's a quality pot noodle.
Do you like a Bombay Bad Boy? Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah, it's quite hot, obviously.
I haven't tried that one.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
But I do like a pot noodle. It's a shame though, because it was quite unpleasant when you can't control it. Do you know what I mean? Tsunami.
I mean, that's also really not what you want in those kind of early few dates, is it?
No,
it's
that's
not.
Like, that's that about image. as worst case scenario as possible, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for a girl as well, I don't know why, it's just, it feels like less acceptable for a girl to have it coming out of all orifices, you know what I mean?
I can understand that. For a guy's perspective, we don't care.
Speak for yourself, I think I'd still be a bit sheepish.
It's a good war story, though. It's like kind of like with your mates. You'd be like, oh, yeah, well, I went out and shit myself. Not so classy when you're a girl.
My friends... shit themselves stories are just the absolute best, Alexis. They make my day all the time. But I've got one of my girlmates weeing herself stories is incredible. Where she very quickly got caught short. She was shopping and she had loads of carrier bags in her hand and in both hands. And she was like, I'll get home. And she was wearing a little jumpsuit or play suit, the one with not long legs. Yeah. I'm not too sure what one that is. And she couldn't put them down. She couldn't put the bags down because she was worried about glass and stuff. And so she just made the decision just to stand in the street and pee. And she said, I don't know how it came to that. She just was like, oh, I'm just going to go. I can't get home quick enough and I can't put the carrier bags down. So she just peed her pants. And she said, as she did it, some blokes walked past her.
At what point is it inevitable this is going to happen? No, there's no point putting the bags down. It's going to happen.
I can't understand. This is a sensible human being that I know as well. And I think she just gave up.
I thought you were going to say she did it in one of the plastic bags, because that would have some sense to it.
Let me text her that now, Alexis.
Find out
what she should have done.
There are such shiwi as well, actually. I would advise ladies investing in a shiwi. Good for festivals.
Do they work? Are they decent?
I've heard they work. I've never tried one personally, but I think, apparently.
Are they like the little things that, like, you just literally whack it on and pee in it like a fella would at a urinal?
Yeah, basically.
Winkle for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, stick on urinal is basically, that's it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we're really covering some really, like, disgusting rounds.
This is what the listeners
need. If we talk festivals, the ones that I find quite strange, you may have walked past them and seen them, Alexis, is the ones where there's just like two rows, like, butted up with each other, so your head is literally less than a metre away from the guy opposite you who's urinating in these outside urinals. And obviously at a festival you're drinking pints and pints and pints, so you just got to piss constantly. And it is good because there's very rarely queues for blokes to have a piss at a festival, which is handy. Whereas, you know, it always seems like there's these momentous queues for women to go and find a loo at a thing. However, it's really strange. When you walk in and you see it, you go, oh, it's them toilets, the ones where, like, I'm going to be that far away from another guy's face. Why nobody has ever put some kind of advertising banner about 6 foot above everyone's heads and missing a trick? Because every single fella just looks up. Nobody is looking directly into a stranger's eyes whilst they've both got their knob in their hands, apart from Chris. But obviously, everyone just stands there and is like, stares up. Advertising opportunity right there.
Okay.
Get the podcast up there. I mean, really. Right. Shouldn't you?
Hardcore piss.
So, you know, sugar. Can I ask a question about... Oh, I've got a delivery, but I'm just going to ignore it because I think it's nothing important.
Do you want to grab it, Alexis?
It's fine.
I can, all right. Go one on. Second, sorry. Oh, hi, Isabel.
Did you order the Shiwis?
Did you just order them on Amazon?
Sorry, it's just the neighbour's kid.
Oh,
I thought it was your job. Oh, little Shiwis just arrived.
Amazon Prime does not mess about.
She's pixel advertising. Yeah, they know what you're looking at.
I ordered some friends for my daughter. They've arrived too early. What were we saying?
You were going to ask us a question.
Yes, I do want to ask you a question. Because like, I've never really understood the etiquette of men when they wee. So you mustn't ever look down, I'm guessing, when you go to public toilets. But what if someone talks to you? Do you turn your body to them or do you just stand forwards? Like, if someone goes, oh, mate, what time does this place close or something?
Right.
Yeah. No man has ever turned their body to the other guy because there will be trouble. because really, you're gonna hose them down.
Right, really, right.
So you can sometimes. Do you do a cursory glance? But you just got to be careful with your eyes then.
Cursory glance isn't going to end up. Is not going to hold up in court, Chris. well, this is. It comes. There's a lot of like factors involved in this, Alexis. Right. So, I always find it really weird when I walk into a urinal and there's somebody there urinating, texting with both hands. So there's so the etiquette can be. For me, I'm more traditional. I'm like, buttons fly, dinkle in one hand, right? Standard. However...
You said dinkle. Sorry, that's funny.
But you do get the people that are quite confident that just do flies and pull...
Pop it out.
And bollocks as well.
Yeah.
And use the balls as like a little sort of rest.
Cushion.
What?
And so
the balls sort of like help angle the penis up into
then,
the...
And then they're just chatting away on their phones, both hands texting. And I'm always a little bit impressed with that confidence, but I haven't got that confidence myself. I just think, oh, no, I've got a feeling that could go badly wrong for me.
I hope it does for the people who do it, really.
That's risky.
It's like like we were talking the other day about the movie Shame and Michael Fassbender flashing his willy in that. It's like... It's too confident. There was no need for him to be showing his winkle like that. There's no need for them to be...
It's a stunt, Willie, I reckon.
You reckon?
Yeah. Stunt genitals, always.
I mean, that's not come out publicly yet, but that's a stunt one, and he's probably quite happy to keep it that way.
In all the research we've done, we haven't been able to find the other person, the stunt
But you know on the invention tip you were saying about the billboards above the urinals? What about a stand? You know, like you've got a stand there for your microphone. So a little stand that goes over your fly that holds your phone.
Like a little fishing rod rest.
Exactly.
Why are we setting up offices in urinals, though, guys? We're trying to get people in and out of them.
It's a pandemic, though. There's not going to be any offices after.
That's true.
Once everyone loses all their jobs, there'll be no more offices.
Number three.
School disco. So do you guys know of school disco, the club night?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay. So school disco was really big like a good few years ago. And for people who don't know it, it's just you dress up in school uniform, which actually sounds really pervy now. And it is. It's a really good place to pull for both sexes. And they play cheesy sort of 80s or 90s music. And I went on a New Year's Eve there a long time ago. And I was sat on the floor. It was a long night. Hadn't really fancied anyone. There was no one to pull. And I was just like, I feel really sick. I'm probably going to vomit. I don't want to vomit over myself. I happened to see someone had left a jumper on the floor next to me. And in my haste for the vomit to come out, I actually picked this poor person's jumper up, threw up into it, and then put it back down. So, and I still feel a little bit bad about it. Not so bad, because like they would never be able to identify me unless they were doing DNA tests.
Yes.
But the fact that I picked up someone else's top and threw up into it, and then I carried on dancing as you would, because it was New Year's Eve. And in fact, I did go on to pull someone and snog them after I'd been sick in someone else's jumper.
Yeah.
I've been
I mean, that evening, you was a truly, truly awful person.
Yes. I hate myself for that night. I was a horrible person. There's nothing good about that.
When did you realise you're a bad person for all that? Because when I do things like that, it's like I get it at like 7 a.m. the next morning and I'm lying there all like rested, and then I just going, "Oi, do you remember how much of a prick you was last night?" And then my eyes just come wide open, and then that's it. I'm just
tanking. Oh no, as I did it, I knew it was really bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Good work.
But I didn't stop myself. But funnily enough, school disco's got a very interesting legacy of wardrobe related incidents, because one of my best friend went there a few years ago, and she had this really nice white puffer coat, and when she put it on at the end of the night, there were two dead mice in the sleeve that had obviously crawled
in the cloakroom.
School disco didn't have a cloakroom. That's why everyone's shit was all over the floor, but like you just put your coat, you bundled them on the floor somewhere. But yes, obviously some mice had climbed in for comfort and warmth and died in there. So
wow.
Yeah, I'm really selling it. I don't know if it still exists, and probably because of me it had to be shut down. yeah, basically.
Chris, have you thrown up anywhere?
Loads of places, loads of embarrassing places. Yeah. I guess the two that always spring to mind is the one where, this is very quick, I loved science at school. And I did a biology class, and it was my favourite teacher, Mrs. Springle. I loved her. She was bloody brilliant. And I remember just feeling sick, and it was all happened really quickly, just tapping her on the shoulder, because I was quite a goody two-shoes. Like, up until 14, I was an angel, and then Charles Manson after that. And basically, I tapped her on the shoulder. She turned round and said, "Yeah, what's up, Chris?" And then I just projectile vomited all over the blackboard. Like, why would I do that? I just like panicked, and it all came up, and it was like spaghetti all over the blackboard. And I was like, "Can I go to the nurse's office?" And she was like, "Well, yeah, that definitely warrants going. I'm not lying about that one." And the other time was, I'd finished university, and forgive me if I've repeated this on the podcast before, but I finished uni, and it's about 2 years later, but in my mind, I still think I smoked a lot of marijuana, and I didn't. I'd given it up. And I went to the place I was working. Some of the people there was like, "We're going to have a stone-a-thon." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll come and join you for that, guys." And it was at a house party, and everyone was smoking a lot of marijuana, and they got out space cakes. And I've never been able to handle them my whole life. Just stay away from it. And I had a couple of those, well, one of those, and I did a bong. And it was a really busy party. And just as this guy was bringing a tray of drinks round, I just got tunnel vision, and just out of the blue, projectile vomited. And it went, my whole thing went in slow motion. I was literally looking at him in the eyes, who was bringing the drinks to the table, as I was staying up over his lounge. It all went in the drinks. And it was really bad. And the whole room just went silent. So there was probably about 30 people in there as I did this. And one of the lads I worked with, who never said anything to anyone, went, "You know how to ruin a party." And everyone just started laughing. I was like, "Oh, God." That's just the most embarrassing thing ever. Brilliant. So, yeah, I've had my run-ins with being sick, for sure. How about you, Stu? Have you ever?
A few. On stage at the Moles Club in Bath. It was the Adelphi in Hull. And I thought, "Oh, I'm going to be sick." And I knew that there was, like, a verse that I didn't play on. So I literally run off stage... threw up and literally just come back on to the keys like for the middle eight or whatever it was. But yeah, that one. And then obviously I believe I've said it on this, but it's the grossest thing that I've ever experienced in my life. Was at a thing called Midem or Midem in
Midem, in Cannes.
Yeah, and I went there in maybe 98. And have you been there, Alexis?
I think so, yeah.
And it's just like a huge centre, and there's, you know, it's all very musicy, back slapping. But we were just chancing our arm there, and I tell you what, I've been drinking Desperado, and this is 1998. No, it's tequila, right? Like, but nobody tequila.
Was that when it was actually tequila in there, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
originally so tequila.
You
and
couldn't get it in
it
the
now.
UK then, yeah. And obviously it's quite a popular drink now. But this is like fucking like end of the '90s. So we went mad on it the night before, woke up really hungover and got to the conference centre. And I was like, I said to like my mate, I was like, Leo, I'm going to throw up. I feel fucking awful. And like, and it was one of the ones where, oh God, I really am. And like, and I run and the first toilet I got to was shut for cleaning. And I was like, oh no, I'll have to find another one. Then I got to the next one. And the door was ajar, but it had like the kind of the cones as if they, you know, to notify people it was being cleaned. And I just run in, and there was like an array of like booths or cubicles. And this poor French woman was cleaning the one at the far end. And I've just run into about like the third one along.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
She hadn't cleaned. And as I got in there, this is really gross, there was a lot of semen on the toilet seat. To which I've just gone, fuck. And then thrown up all over the wall behind the toilet and over the actual sort of back of the toilet. And then just literally just got some kind of, you know, a bog roll, wiped my mouth and walked out just going, I'm so sorry. Like, and I just, to this day, also, much like the person who has the jumper and that, just think, what would she have just walked into? Like, just, that's a fucking horror film right there.
Do you think she thought you came as well?
I mean, that was stealth, if so. Like, you know, mate, I don't know. But, I mean, nobody needs to see that. That was pretty horrific. Yeah.
And it's quite contagious, isn't it, when someone throws up? I think, or when you see something disgusting, if you see vomit, it makes you want to vomit.
Yeah.
And probably
yeah.
a semen, like... engaged your
that doesn't work the same. It didn't make me come. Oh, no. Semen. Oh,
I wasn't going there. I mean, like,
not again.
It was so disgusting. You were like, no, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Does that come into any of your other into your top two, Alexis? You know, the whole chain spuking.
Yes, it does, actually. It does. It's almost like you prepared that question. It comes into number one.
Good link.
I'm really not going to get there yet because we've still got another one to do.
Let's do that.
Cool.
Shall I hit you with it?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is another, this is a very, I think this is the most shameful one out of all of my stories.
Fuck me.
Okay, so I went out with my sister and she works in the city. She's got very like normal jobs and she said, I'll come out, we'll go drinking in the city. It's like a thing. On a Thursday night, it's 2-for-1. You already know how that the night's going to end with that. So we went to this bar. I think it was called Abacus. I think it got closed down because of like, the, it was rated for drugs. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
And so we had a few bottles of wine, half price, obviously, 2-for-1. And I had a great night, got on the train to go home that night. And, you know, you get on the train, you sit down and you say that tunnel vision. Everyone starts moving. You don't want to close your eyes because if you close your eyes, that feeling, it's like you're being taken over by a spirit, literally. Yeah. And I suddenly realised I was going to throw up. Everyone was already looking at me because I was literally that basic bitch who was swaying all over. And then thankfully the train stopped at Hackney Downs and I'm sorry for the people of Hackney. I got off the train. It was about 12 o'clock at night. Have a really nice Fiorelli handbag, setting this up for you. Got off the train and spewed up, but opened my bag as I did it. I don't know what I was thinking, like kind of collecting it or there was floor. But as I did it, opened my bag. So I threw up over everything in my bag, phone, makeup bag, the lot, trashed it. And then it gets worse. I got back on the train the next stop. And, you know, like everyone was looking at me. I was ashamed of myself.
Bag full of sick.
You've got a bag of sick.
That was me. Got back to my... I was staying at my parents' house that night. I don't think I was living there at that point. It was a long time ago. And in my old bedroom at my parents' house, there's a sink in the bedroom. It's like this really old-fashioned room. And then I got in, threw up in the sink. And the next morning, it hadn't gone down the sink. So it was just kind of there like potpourri for my mum to clean up. And that's the time I threw up in my handbag and my old bedroom.
So did you the next day then have to kind of deal with the bag?
I did have to deal with the bag. So the bag, I basically, then the next day, you know, like when you become like a forensic pathologist, literally gloves, you know, wipes, The bag was not savable, unfortunately. Rest in peace. But the contents, actually, I managed to like salvage. That was good. But yeah, the bag was a goner. And I love that bag. It was like magenta leather with a little frill on the front. And it was just beautiful. So, yeah.
I mean,
you make bad decisions when you're drunk. That's the problem.
You do. This is why it's bad. Have you been drinking in lockdown? Out of interest.
A little bit. So you've done quite... You did quite a lot to start with, didn't you?
I drank every night for about 2 months. I've not drunk for 3 weeks. I've stopped drinking. I was drinking every night, but I guess maybe a glass or two glasses of wine. It just become, first of all, holiday mode. Then it was just like, it become like habitual. It was like, it's 7 o'clock now, I'm done. Let's have a glass of wine. And it's like, I don't really need this. I don't need to do this. Why am I doing it? And then I got bored of wine. So I was like, buying different kind of nice beers and going, oh yeah, I'll have that. And then it was like, I'm bored of that. I'll buy a nice whiskey. And it was like, why don't I just not? And I've been drinking bucket loads of water and we've been fasting, haven't we, Chris?
Yeah, you've done really well on the not drinking front. When was the last time you had a drink, Stu?
I had. I'll tell you what I had. I had two of those on Sunday night, and it really pissed me off. It really pissed me off because our sponsor gave me an alcohol-free beer. It was really nice. I've since ordered a case of that, which is arriving today. I had like where I'm recording this now, Alexis. This is like I've got like little bar in my garden.
And oh, so, nice. Like,
it's easy. Like, we went to go to a pub for the first time, and I was like, I don't want to go to a pub. I'm like, I do want to go to a pub, but I know that I'll have a beer if I go to a pub. And the pub was shut, so I was like, I'll come and go back down the bar. And I just thought, I've got alcohol-free beer. And then they just hung around and wanted to drink more, so I ended up having two IPAs. And I felt really bad the next morning. I thought, oh, why did I do that? I didn't really need to do that. But yeah, so I'm trying my best to kind of not drink for a while.
Good for you. I can't. I just find it impossible because I have a five-year-old daughter. Just, I can't. I couldn't do it because the next day when they get up at like 6 a.m, you've got kids, haven't you, Stu?
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're,
it's just hard work. You know, the next day.
We had a guest on about I don't know, it's probably over a year ago now. Rob, and he did top five Irish whiskies. And that became quite a wild session with Rob. He came over from Ireland to record with us, and I remember the next day I woke up at 11 a.m. and I felt like I had full blown flu.
Yeah.
And you'd gone into work, Stu, hadn't you? Well, you was on the train at like 7 a.m. the next day, and
6 a.m.
I couldn't.
Yeah, I could hear the pulse in my own head that morning.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Gross. It was really gross. Like, yeah, I had a lot of anxiety that morning. Like, and thankfully I'd videoed lots, and I just took comfort that you was a much bigger prick than me. And so obviously as soon as you woke up, I was like, oh, you wouldn't believe what you done. Made myself feel a lot better by making you feel worse.
Yeah, it was sending me the video footage of me rapping in the kebab shop.
Yep.
I think that sounds great, Night Out. I'd love that. It does give you anxiety though, doesn't it? And more so like as you get older, I just find the next day I just feel like really down on life and on myself and stuff. And I think with lockdown as well, that would just be too heavy a combo. Yeah. So I've just steered clear of alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I haven't been drinking indoors. I've had the odd couple, but yeah, just can't hack it at the moment.
There's something to look forward to, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Right, on to your number one, Alexis. Let's see what happens here.
This one is a tale of, I guess, like inspired vomiting. So, you know, like when you inspire someone else to vomit. So my daughter and I picked some raspberries, went raspberry picking, and didn't wash them because that's the kind of way we roll, you know. Yeah. We're like ninjas, we're like really cool people, we don't wash fruit.
Feral.
Bad move, right? Feral. So came home that night, and all of a sudden it came upon me, and I didn't even have to, I was lying in bed and she was in the bed next to me, and I just didn't have time to get to the toilet. From lying down, and I'm trying to do the pose now, but from lying down, I threw up just basically over myself, which was fine because I'd actually managed to contain it quite well, although it was red vomit because it was the raspberries, basically, the guilty party. And all my bedding is always white. So it was like sort of a bit of a horror film look. And then my daughter woke up, saw that I'd vomited, and then vomited all over herself and me, and then turned her head and vomited over the carpet. And I actually had to redecorate the bedroom because it was so bad. Like, the vomit, like, I think raspberry is quite acidic or something. I don't know.
Stain.
Yeah, and like, so I had to get rid of all the bed sheets and the carpet. I had to get a new carpet just from, like, one sodding little punnet of raspberries.
Wash your raspberries, kids.
Yeah, wash your fruit and wash your vegetables. Like, why wouldn't you do that? I don't understand what I was thinking. I think we've established I'm not a very nice person and I'm a bit of an idiot, basically, from my stories.
What a CV.
Yeah, it's a good CV.
I haven't washed. I've often not washed fruit. But then my girlfriend said to me when we did it not that long ago, she's got to watch that. And I was like, no, I haven't. She was like, but a fox might have peed up against that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't think of that. Yeah, maybe they have.
I didn't think of that. Well, we have a lot of foxes around here as well, actually.
Do foxes cock their leg?
I think they do little handstands on their front 2 feet.
Somebody on one of my community groups on Facebook from my area posted a picture the other day just saying, has anybody lost a dog, found him at the end of my road, was a bit of a wrestle getting him in the car, and he was very snappy, and it was a fucking fox.
Oh, I hate foxes. Right up, they're right up there with Trump. I can't bear them. They just the smell of their. I don't know if it's their poo or their wee is so intense, and they all make love outside my window at night. And
scream.
You know the sound. It doesn't sound like they're having a good time.
No,
I'll be honest. Not pleasant.
No, it doesn't. No, we there's loads in where I'm at in Essex, and they do that. And I've often they've just been sat on the lawn, but too quite far back. And they'll just look you dead in the eye while they shit on the lawn. And that does absolutely stink. But the lovemaking is...
I love that they look you dead in the eye.
Yeah, they do. They know what they're doing.
I mean, the only way...
They're like...
It can get worse is if you have a dog, like I do, dogs like nothing better than rolling in fox shit. It's their favourite thing to do. And then all of a sudden when your dog comes in, you're like, well, that's a strange smell. Oh no, and like you think, oh fuck's sake, now I've got to bath the dog and wash fox shit off my dog. That's not a good day.
We have covered a lot today, guys. I'm just going to say that. We've done shee-wees, sick, poo, pee.
Jizzy toilets.
Jizzy toilets.
My face has kind of been like in a bit of a grimace throughout, actually. Yeah. Yeah, it's not classy. I don't think my parents are going to be very proud of this.
I think we've all been there and we've all had these things because it's just a natural part of making terrible decisions normally as growing up. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll get some feedback from our listeners of what they've been up to, the dirty little bastards.
Before we wrap up, Alexis, so when we come out of lockdown and things resume a little bit, what you got coming up? What's happening?
Well, actually, I am doing a few things. I've written a book about my experiences as an also-ran called The Time I Almost. So I'm trying to get published. But ironically, when you write a book about not quite making it, no one wants to publish it. It's kind of a bit painful. I'm working on that. I'm going to bully someone into it. I do the Funny Women Survival Guide podcast, which is great. And I'm joining Twitch this week and I'm going to start broadcasting some comedy stuff on Twitch because I feel like Twitch is kind of where the future is for, you know, for the kind of thing I do. I'm not really a stand-up comedian per se. I'm just someone who likes chatting shit like you guys do. And I feel like Twitch will be a good... place to explore that really. And a friend of mine, Terry Miner, is helping me out with that this week. He's going to give me a little tutorial, so that's cool.
Incredible.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, where's the best place for people to find out about what you're up to?
Probably Twitter is the one that I'm obsessively living on at the moment. I've got to cut out the social media obsession. At Alexis Strum, or Insta at Alexis Strum. And I joined TikTok as well.
Check you out, no damn kids.
Yeah, I just feel like I get so much out of my 12-year-old neighbour, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I should employ her to do my PR and marketing, in a way. But they know what's going on. They're so on it. So, yeah, I'm on TikTok too. Woohoo.
Wonderful. Well, if it's cool with you...
sequel.
We'll tag you in everything when we put this out.
Oh, please do, yeah.
Lovely. Alexis, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those stories. Cheers, Alexis.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, yeah. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out, So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. PopBibleMag.com. It's a drunken soiree in the Whiffy.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.